Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Astro Dip laying in my bed. Laying in my bed. Because you know, it's my bed in astrology. What's up, everybody? How y'all doing today? How you doing today? This is Astro Dip here doing her today. And today I want to talk about something about astrocartography that people don't really talk about that much. And it is called Perans, aka crossings. It's kind of like in conjunctions and kinkunks. You know, they're the same thing, but there's different, you know, words for them. You know what I'm saying? So what do we call that? A synonym? Okay. Synonym. Okay. Perans and crossings. Synonyms. So anyway, if you hear me use it interchangeably, you know why. Okay. So let's go ahead and talk about it. All right. So, Perans, what are they? They represent when two lines cross in the astrocartography map, right? And, you know, one may think, okay, there's a couple of things that, you know, questions people may have. Are they just like the major planetary lines that cross or the major planetary crosses or the minor? Nah, I can't talk today. Let's try this one more time. Okay. Does it only count when it's the major planetary lines crossing, or does it count for minor planetary lines crossing, right? And I'll say this, right? First of all, let's define, you know, major planetary lines versus minor planetary lines. This is a phrase that I use. I don't know if other people use it, but I had to kind of show the difference between the two lines. A major planetary line is a line that most of y'all know. So when you say, oh, my Mars line, my Sun line, right? And what you're typically saying is that, like, my Mars ascendant line, my Sun descendant line, my Venus IC line, my Jupiter descendant line. You know, you're saying basically those lines, and it's when the planet is actually conjoined or making a conjunction to the relocated angular point, the relocated cardinal point, right? And that's ascendant, descendant, IC, MC. So, you know, of course, with the whole premise of astrocartography, you know, your experience in different places are being represented because your birth chart stays the same, but the houses are shifting everywhere you go. And this is not your new chart. You know, your natal chart's always your natal chart, but this is actually explaining the experience of the place that you have, right? And so the thing that's happening here is, you know, this planet that's in your natal chart, you know, is staying at the place that it's at, but the houses are shifting so much depending on where you're going, that now that planet is conjoined, is relocated, you know, cardinal point or angular point. You get what I'm saying? So that's that. Now, a minor planetary line is when that planet is making any other aspect besides conjunction or opposition to that angular point. So, yes, there is a Jupiter sextile midheaven line. There is a Venus trine descendant line, et cetera, right? The planets in your chart can be making aspects to the other, different types of aspects to the angular points, right? And so that's what I call minor lines. Now, they're not as potent as the major planetary lines, but they do hold a motherfucking punch. So, with that being said, of course, right? Of course, you know, minor lines can make crosses too. Minor lines can make crosses to major lines, to each other. Major lines can make crosses to each other and minor lines. You know what I mean? That's what happens. But usually if you're going to like astro.com, you know, they're showing just the major lines that are planetary lines that are crossing. You know, if we account for every line crossing, you know, now you're going to have to pay. And I feel astro.com shit. This shit is a lot of time and effort. Okay. So now you have to pay. All right. Another question that you may have too is, you know, I'm noticing, hey, AstroDim and Astro.com and Astro-Seek, that you use a lot of Ptolemaic aspects, right? These are the major aspects: opposition, conjunction, trine, square, sextile. What about the minor aspects, right? Yes, they are included too. Actually, Astro-Seek does a great job and has like a list of minor aspects that you could apply to your astrophotography charts to go check them out, right? So yes, it could be a Sun Novile ascendant line. There could be a Mars King Kunk's midheaven line. Yes. And that's going to explain your experience in that place. Yes. And you can learn more about that and get direct mentorship for me, right? By, you know, going to Relocation Astrology 101, you know, doing that course at astrodim.com. And I have a cheaper version of that course too, where you won't have my direct mentorship, but, you know, I'll meet with y'all like every quarter or something. You know what I'm saying? That's a possibility too. Okay? So, shameless plug. Check out the new prices. It's cheaper, affordable, payment plans are available, blah, 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 blah. Okay, anyway, you know, I do want to express like what makes a Puran so powerful, and like to kind of explain it a little bit more. So a Puran is basically when two planetary lines are crossing. It doesn't apply to the location in which it's just crossing. It applies to the whole latitude of the place, right? The whole entire latitude of the place. So you do have to account for that. However, where it's actually crossing is the most potent. So let me use an example. Say that I have a Neptune midheaven line crossing my Sun ascendant line in Timbuktu. And let's just say, I might be wrong map wise, but just let's just say that Timbuktu and Charleston, South Carolina in the same like latitude. So, you know, that even though the cross is in Timbuktu, because it's in the same latitude as Charleston, if I'm in Charleston, I'm going to experience the energy of that crossing of the Neptune midheaven line crossing my Sun ascendant line. However, the energy, if I go to Timbuktu, the energy is going to be way more potent because the crossing is actually happening there. Okay, so that's kind of how it goes, but the remnants of that energy is hitting the whole latitude. It's similar to zenith, how the zenith, it hits the whole latitude, but it's the most potent where the planet is, you know, in when it comes to Earth, you know, with from the Earth's perspective, where the planet is literally above the location on Earth. Okay, that is the most potent energy there. Works the same exact way. And so what's happening with crossings though, and what makes crossing so special, is that, you know, it's saying that, hey, in this relocated version of your chart, you know, you have this planet on, you know, aspecting this angular point, this relocated angular point, and another planet also aspecting this angular point, and they're working together to create this experience for you in this location. Now these planets don't gotta touch. These planets themselves don't have to aspect each other that are involved, right? But what it's doing is it's coming together to create this experience for you in this place. Mind you, you know, you may not have the same experience in another place, right? So I could have like a crossing in Sydney, Australia, that I don't have that experience in my natal chart. You know, these planets are not touching angular points in my natal chart or any other place in the world. And so this is what makes, you know, Australia be different from me. That's why the experience is so different. You know, these planetary lines can say a lot but you may have a different experience depending on a lot of things, but crossings is definitely included, right? So say that, like, you know, I'm going to Sydney, Australia with my bestie, you know, shout out to my bestie Jamar. They have this amazing aromatherapy business called Lavender. You should go check it out. Okay. It's LVDR, you know, check them out. Anyway, say I'm going to Sydney, Australia with my bestie, right? And me and him go, we both have a sun. Say that we both have like a sun IC line in Sydney, right? But we have totally different experiences there. And you're like, well, wait, well, why y'all have different experiences like that? Well, first of all, my son could be aspected differently from his son, right? That could be a thing. That could be a factor. His son is, you know, our essential dignities and accidental dignities of our sons could be different. That could be another thing. But also the crossings have to be applied too. I could have more pleasant crossings in my chart that makes it wonderful for me in Sydney, and he can have harsher crossings in his chart that makes it difficult. Right? And so, you know, what I've noticed with Astro.com, and I'm not mad at them because they have to generalize the little readings that they give so it could apply to everybody as much as they can. But like, I noticed that for the like malefic planets, just like, oh, this is going to be hard. For the benefic planets, oh, this is going to be wonderful. But of course, like I say all the time, you know, the experience, it depends. If your malefics are like wonderfully aspected, wonderfully placed, it's not going to be that bad. This is just from experience, y'all. Malefics ain't that bad to me. I'm sorry. They're not bad at all. You know, like I've seen, again, astrocartography is a perfect example of that. I've seen people like move to, you know, their benefic line is in sect, you know, and everything. And it's just, it's ass because it's aspected horribly. Right. And I've seen it with crossings too. So someone moved to their like sun Venus crossing, a place where the sun and Venus is crossing, and they have a horrible time because their sun and their Venus is ass, okay, in their natal chart. And so all that energy is just being expressed more. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to consider these things. It's very important. It's very important. And so, you know, I might even do this, y'all. Hold on, cotton picking second. Do a little something. I'm gonna use myself as an example. Let's use Mumbai for my chart, and I'm actually gonna pull it up right now. Hold on. Right. So in Mumbai, I have my Jupiter midheaven line there. Word, right? Very cute. But I have a crossing right on Mumbai too. My Mercury descendant line crosses through Mumbai as well. And so literally you see the lines crossing right there where my Jupiter midheaven line and my Mercury descendant line just cross it right on top of Mumbai, right? And so, you know, you go to astro.com, they're like, yeah, this is wonderful. You know what I mean? You're able to communicate yourself effectively. You have a lot of mental activity. You know how to, you know, be philosophical yet detailed with it. Maybe you're able to learn a different language. You know what I'm saying? Learn some new things. You know what I mean? Open-minded, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, there might be some aspects of that. Absolutely. For sure. For sure. Right? The thing is that my Mercury and Jupiter are not that greatly aspected. They're not bad. They're not horrible. You know what I mean? I'll live in my Jupiter line. I'll be able to deal. However, with my Mercury and Jupiter, first of all, natally, my Mercury and Jupiter square, right? So these planets have intention with each other off the rip. Off the rip, all right? And then, you know, again, my Mercury is not in sect. Yes, Mercury have sex. If you don't know, now you know. Listen to my last, I think, podcast episode. I talked about it. You know, my Mercury, I'm in a day chart and my Mercury's occidental. So there's that, right? That energy is being applied. My Mercury is square Jupiter. My Mercury conjoins my sun. Yes, it is, you know, under beams. But, you know, underbeams is not the worst, right? At least it's not combust, but still, right? That's happening. You know, I would rather have an underbeams. I don't think underbeams is that bad, you know, but still, you know, there's that. And, you know, of course, my Jupiter, you know, is square Jupiter. So, you know, that energy can work out well, but I am going to have some tension. I'm going to have some difficulties. There might be some people that disagree with me. You know, since we're talking about Jupiter and Mercury, it's my Jupiter midheaven line. That means Jupiter is on my midheaven. Mercury is on my descendant there. And so I could be having really tough conversations with authority figures, you know, where the, you know, I talk to them one-on-one and we're clashing because they are on a different time than me. They're thinking some different shit than me. You know what I mean? They're thinking more big picture. I'm thinking more detail. They're finding me annoying. You know what I'm saying? It could be that, you know, especially in Mumbai, my boss or any authority figure is a different culture, speaks a different language. It's totally foreign from my way of thinking and my language and the way I communicate. And so it's hard for us to have a relation when I want to. It will take effort, right? Squares are not all horrible, right? It does show that you need to take effort, you know? I mean, it can be very annoying and it can be horrible, but it shows that effort is really needed and it takes a lot of time. Things are not flowing well. And so it could be some difficulties with me. However, I do have some good aspects to my Jupiter, right? My Jupiter is a part of a grand trine, right? So my Jupiter is supported, right? And then Mercury, you know, it's try myself node, so that's cute. You know, that's cute or whatever. And so, like, this crossing is not horrible, no, but it can be not so great too. It can have some difficulties, and that's what I'm trying to explain. You know, not a lot of people think that, oh, I got this out because I'm on this, you know, benefic planetary line, but it really depends on the chart. And so, you know, I might feel like I have no choice but to learn this language because these people don't understand me and don't get me, and they're not making the effort to either, which they have every right. You know what I'm saying? It's their country. Shit, I need to go and assimilate, you know, so that could be my experience there. Or I'm trying to learn the language and you know, maybe the teacher's being a little bit difficult and it's hard, you know, but that's what you have to consider. You know, you have to really bring it full picture. It's not like this crossing is bad, that crossing is good, this line is bad, this line is good. It does not work that way, y'all. No aspect of astrology is ever going to work that way. You see what I'm saying? So that's what I'm trying to get at here. That's what I'm trying to get at. That's what I feel like is very important for you guys to understand. And so the crosses that are, of course, that are more potent are with major planetary lines. There's possibility for minor planetary line crossings too, but no free program's going to touch on that. I don't even know if the programs that have money will touch on it. I mean, that you have money, that you have to pay money for. We'll touch on it either. I'm actually in a debate trying to figure out if I should, like, which, you know, program I should get. Because all these years, I haven't been using an astrology software. You know what I mean? Because Astro.com is just so good. But I really want to tap into it because it's hard to, you know, do certain things with the free programs. No matter how wonderful they are, there's just some of them have certain offerings. You know what I mean? I try to let it slide and find workarounds and stuff. But I was like, I need to stop being cheap. I'm thinking about Solifier. I really am. That shit looks dope, especially for the astrophotography stuff, y'all. Okay, it's looking right. But the thing is too, is that, like, you know, something that could happen, right, is, you know, my Mercury and my Jupiter, they touch, they make an aspect, they square. But sometimes that doesn't happen either. Like, the planets that are involved in a crossing may not necessarily aspect. And that is because in, you know, astrocartography, you know, the midheaven could be damn near anywhere on the top part of the chart. And the IC could be anywhere in the bottom part of the chart. The ascendant, you know, the first house is always connected with the ascendant, seventh house with the descendant. But, you know, with the IC and MC, it could be anywhere depending on how north or how south you are. You know, it's rare, but you could have your midheaven in your 12th house. It's very rare, but it's possible. Most likely, not the most possible, but, you know, it can't happen. I'll just say that. We've seen midheavens in the 11th house, right? We've seen that happen. So, you know, you do have to keep that in mind. So there's situations in which that could happen. So, for instance, right, I could have a, you know, Neptune midheaven and, say, Chiron IC crossing, or not even descendant crossing. I could have that somewhere. And my Neptune and my Chiron don't aspect, but that could happen in my chart. You know what I mean? Because, you know, your midheaven and your IC, you know, it could land in any house if we were to apply whole sign. But even if we apply, you know, Placidus, like, you know, we typically see that, you know, your angular points have the same modality, but that's not always the case. You know what I mean? There are times where they don't. And so that's what that is, you know, accounting for, you know? So it's really fascinating. But yeah. Crosses and parans, at the end of the day, what it's all about is when, you know, a planetary line crosses another planetary line in your chart. For the most part, in your chart, you will see that, hey, this planet is conjunct my, I'll even say it like this. This angular point, relocated angular point, is conjunct my planet. And another angular point, relocated angular point, is conjunct another planet. And it's actually expressing my experience in this place. And I may not have that same expression anywhere else. And it's the most important, most potent where that crossing is, but that energy can be spread all along that latitude. Okay. So that's what crossings are. I hope this made sense. So I know I was kind of like fumbling with my words a little bit. So I hope this made sense. But if y'all guys have any questions, you know, you can always hit me up and you can always take a look. Take a look. at Relocated Astrology 101. Dun, dun. Okay. This is going to be, you know, a fairly shorter podcast episode, like 25 minutes, I see. So I'm going to be out. I'm going to say peace out. And yeah, this is it. I hope you guys liked it. If you have any requests, though, please holler at me. Let me know. I want to talk to you. Okay. All right. Bye.